May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 570. The Lord on high his love proclaims and makes his goodness known. To men deserving endless pains, he gave his only Son. Hymn 570.
Together for our instruction from the Book of Psalms, reading Psalms 95 to the end of 99. the 95th, 96th, 97th, 98th, and 99th Psalms. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the sheep of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honour and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and offer it and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be glad, joyful, and all that there is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let all the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. The fire goeth before him, and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvellous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise, and rejoice, and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron among those priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name, they called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. Exhort the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. The Lord teach us in the reading of his holy word, bless it to the good of our souls, and help us to pray. Thou who art in the heavens, the great infinite, eternal, holy God. As we come, Lord, may we have that true sense of reverence, knowing that thou art to be feared in the company of thy saints. And if, Lord, we are gathered together as such that fear thy name, that call upon thee, that worship thee in spirit and in truth, that regard thee as the only hope of our salvation, knowing that there is none other, who have had to cast away the idols and the gods of the flesh to seek to serve thee, the true and the living God, then look down upon us, O Lord. Do grant us at this time thy help. May we be graciously favoured with thy presence. May we know, O Lord, that thou art in the midst, the blessed Emmanuel, God with us. And Lord, it is not just that thou art as another of the number, but thou dost dwell in the hearts of thy people. Oh, to feel that thou dost dwell in our hearts, so that we are as living, lively stones of the spiritual house, that we are living members of the body of Christ, that we are followers of the Lamb, and that we may be made willing, Lord, to even suffer for thy sake, if so be that we should know the glory that follows. But when we speak these things, we acknowledge, O Lord, how easy is our lot compared with what our sins deserve. And indeed, there are those many things that we have, all good things that thou hast granted. And Lord, thou hast given us these things that we may enjoy them. Oh, may we not despise, may we not abuse, may we not be left, O Lord, to take for granted thy rich mercies. May we, Lord, consider even the smallest benefit, and our hearts rejoice on account of it. For, Lord, thou dost condescend. Oh, thou dost condescend to do those things unto those that require and inquire for them. O Lord, thou knowest our every need. And therefore, Lord, we would seek that thou would hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. But we know there are great things, because we are great sinners, that are required. Oh, that thou mayest pardon our many sins and our backslidings, to wash us in that crimson ocean, thy atonement made for sin, to free us, Lord, from empty notion, that we may feel the power within. We pray, Lord, that we may not therefore have a form of godliness and deny and not know the power. Oh, come then, Lord, with that still small voice, no less powerful than the winds that may move or cause the mountains to shake. But Lord, we do pray that we may know and have that gracious influence felt and realized in our own souls. And Lord, leave not our souls destitute. Do come and grant that there may be those are pleasant plants of grace sown in our hearts, that we may evidence a spirit of meekness and humility, of love to thee and to the brethren, the faith that we may lay hold upon the sacred promise, of hope that we may have a true expectation concerning all that thou wilt do for even the least of thy little ones. And yet, Lord, though we may come to know ourselves less than the least, yet thou art able to set the beggar amongst the princes and to give a place of which, Lord, we cannot ourselves contemplate. For what better is it than to enter forever into thy eternal presence and never, never to be cast out. Lord, we believe that for those that may come and plead thy pardoning grace, that it may be that thou dost accept us in and through thine own dear beloved Son. Because thou, most holy Father, hast given them unto him, that he may draw them. Draw us, O Lord, we will run after thee, to draw us into the consolations of those things which can never be taken away. Lord, we may lose much as we are in this world. And if, Lord, we should lose those are things which are temporal, then to have preserved to us the things that are eternal. But Lord, we trust that thou hast given us both providential blessings and spiritual blessings. May the spiritual blessings outweigh the providential blessings. Though we often have to mourn, O Lord, that though we are surrounded with many, many providential benefits, we have to say how lean, how cold our hearts so often are. My leanness, my leanness. Oh, do Lord, come and grant a pleasant rain, the revivings of thy grace in our souls, that we may flourish again, and that we may know the blessings which flow down. Now, Lord, we would pray that thou would help us together in our worship. Do, Lord, open the heart, the ears and the hearts of the people to hear and to receive. Do be mouth, matter and wisdom to one that speaks. We are poor earthen vessels and of ourselves empty. But may that treasure be found within, that we may speak out of the fullness of it, and prove that the excellency of the power is not of us, but of thee. We do, Lord, pray then there may be those brought to know their great need, that vital regenerating work of the Spirit begun, a true appetite for the things of righteousness, though they come hungering and thirsting, and may feel, O Lord, so much of their emptiness, yet we know that this is the way that thou hast appointed, that we may not be left to boast or to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We also, Lord, do desire that thou wilt look upon each in their varied situations, which may be unknown to the preacher. But Lord, thou knowest how each have come, and thou canst apply the word. Thou canst also make a way. Thou canst give hope and confirm the promise. O Lord, may it be that something said may be appropriate to the circumstances and situations, whether spiritual or providential, to each of the hearers. May there be tokens for good, and may there be those seals. We do also pray that thou will be mindful, Lord, of those that gather in their varied companies that seek to worship thee. Some may be little more than two or three. Some may not have one to minister, but may the sermon read be applied and be made a blessing. Some, Lord, may feel that there are many things which are seen to militate and have brought them very low. But do, Lord, help them still to hold on their way. And we pray, Lord, that there will be amongst the varying congregations with one's own people whom we have left. We pray for thy servant whom is ministering, we trust to them throughout this day. Do, Lord, grant that he may be given liberty, and that there may be liberty felt in pew as well as in pulpit. We do, Lord, desire that there will be with those not able to gather, not only amongst one's people, but whether here or elsewhere. Lord, there are those that are confined to their rooms and to their home, or maybe to those homes, whether Bethesda or otherwise, yet there to be looked after because of their frailty and increased age. We will commend them to thee. We would remember, Lord, others, some may be in hospital for one or another reason, and Lord, we would therefore commend them to thee. We would, Lord, desire to bear before thee those that have been in childbearing but have now given birth, and may it be thy good pleasure to maintain and to strengthen both mother and child. And Lord, we would also remember those that have over recent months been granted that blessing of bringing one into the world. But what a world, O Lord, we have to consider they are brought into. A world of wickedness, of vice, of immorality, of violence, of selfishness. And, Lord, we may go on, but we know this, that many of these things have ever been, but they only seem to wax worse and worse. We tremble, therefore, for the young and the rising race. But, oh, could it please thee, Lord, to keep them, to keep their hearts in thy fear, to deliver them, Lord, from the lies of Satan and of men, that they may believe and hold to the truth as it is in thy word, and that they may not be deceived, but realize that what is needful is not to be increased in the pleasures of life and in the riches of it, but first and foremost, that they may know themselves as saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. But Lord, we believe that thou dost add such things
that are needful in this life to those that seek first the kingdom of heaven and Christ's righteousness. We trust, Lord, we are not ignorant of this. Oh, then, surely all things shall be given necessary for our life here and then for the life hereafter. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be mindful of those that have been brought up amongst us, that have gone astray, who have turned from Zion's ways, thinking that there is not anything to be lost by it, but not considering their never dying souls, that if they should have sudden death, then what shall it be but awful wrath poured upon them continually? Oh, do, Lord, then spare them and quicken them in thy good time and way, that they may come returning as true prodigals unto Zion. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt be very gracious unto parents, give them wisdom in the bringing up of their children, and then knowing how to speak when their children may go in their own way. And when we say that, they may indeed not depart from the house of God, but or that they may receive instruction at times from their parents and those who have walked the path. Lord, we do pray that there what therefore grant that children may even in their increased years still regard their wisdom, their parents, and regard sometimes that which they have proved and tried and tested. Now, Lord, we also pray that thou would help all thy people scattered abroad. There are those that have not the like privileges, some that may not even be able to gather because of persecution. We would, Lord, desire to remember them, some threatened with death because of their faith. Oh, do be mindful, Lord, of them. We're thankful for our liberties, though there may be some persecution known from our fellows. But, Lord, do help us to stand in the trying day. And now we will not multiply words further before thee, but seek thine help. Do make up in giving where we fail in our asking, as we ask all these things in and through the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 247. O Lord, I would delight in thee, and on thy care depend. To thee in every trouble flee, my best, my only friend. Hymn 247.
Thank you.
Yes, the Lord may be pleased to help me. I will direct your attention to Psalm 99 and the first verse. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. Psalm 99, verse 1. The Lord reigneth. These words are found amongst these psalms that we read, and one that we did not read particularly. Beginning in Psalm 93, it says, the Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. And we find these words mentioned in the 10th verse of the 96th. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. And the beginning of Psalm 97, the Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. The Lord reigneth because he liveth. He is the eternal God. Never a moment has he not reigned. And not only reigned in time, but reigned before time began. He reigned to perform that work of creation. And it is the work of his hands, whatever men may say. And if you, as one of his creatures, have been brought to observe the creation, even though we know it has been marred by sin, what must it have been when God looked upon it in that first place and saw that it was very good? But he is indeed the creator of the heavens and the earth. And so, having created such, to have a sense of the wonders of God's work in it will perhaps sometimes take our breath. We but poor, insignificant creatures, there must be counted surely as nothing in his sight. But if the earth is to show forth his handiwork, and the heavens that we see, and the orbs that move in the skies, the sun, the moon, the stars, all of those things are created by the King of Kings, the one who reigns, who keeps everything in order, who causes those things to move according to his own plan and purpose. And what can man do to alter those things, to alter the ordinances of a creation? It is a comfort to the Lord's people when they consider these things, because if there is a creating God and those things cannot be changed that he has appointed, not even sin entering into the world can change those things, then what a consolation that the God of grace, appointing those things with regard to every one of his own dear people, that not one of those things appointed can ever be altered. We find that Jeremiah breaks out in, as it were, a song.
First, at the end of that 31st chapter, where you will remember how that it begins, that it speaks of the Lord who will love his people with an everlasting love. And in that loving kindness he will draw them. And so every instant and act and purpose concerning our life shall be accomplished by him. But thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, as we come to the concluding part of that chapter, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. But the days will come when it will be evident that the Lord, he will not change or cast off his purpose and work, particularly towards his own people. For we read again, we read again, and the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. Well, we find then that the creating God is also the God who has appointed those things which are for the people that are chosen before time began, chosen as a people, as a nation, over whom the Lord reigns. And he reigns in the midst of his people, and he reigns over his people. Well, now we want us helped to come to consider the Lord reigneth. First of all, the Lord himself. The Lord is the unchanging God, the one who is to be considered as the only God, the God over all the gods of the earth. Men may raise up their gods and worship them, but what are they? They may have those eyes, but they see not. They may have ears, but they hear not. And noses that they smell not. And mouths that they speak not. And feet that they walk not. And hands that they cannot use to handle. Therefore those that worship them are like unto them. They do not hear or discern the words of the Lord that reigneth. And to Israel, this was something to be confirmed and to be made known from the very outset. First of all, the Lord brought out Abraham from the godless city of Ur and gave him a promise And it was a promise concerning his seed and concerning his inheritance. And though it was tried, yet the Lord brought it about. And he multiplied Abraham. And there was the bringing forth of Isaac, and then Jacob, and then the 12 sons, becoming 12 tribes. They settled in Egypt, but that mighty arm of God was raised. The Lord reigneth. Pharaoh may they think that he could do what he wished. He may say, who is a God that I should serve him? But he was to prove that all the magicians that he gathered together could not do all of those plagues which the Lord brought upon the Egyptians. The Lord brought his people out. And so Moses exhorted them with these words when he rehearsed to them all the things that God had done, having brought them through that wilderness. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. There is but one Lord, and none other. And yet, though the Lord our God is one Lord, we know that there are those distinct persons that are all persons of the glorious Godhead. Not that one is above another, but co-equal, co-eternal, all to work out the purpose according to an eternal covenant, those things that will honour and glorify the Lord and bring his people to glorify him. Indeed, even the earth must glorify God. For we know that though mankind may fiercely oppose and discredit the Lord that reigneth, yet in his judgments upon them, God will be glorified. He will be glorified in the dealing with those enemies, to bring and to make known his power even in the earth. Now the Lord reigneth. He reigneth as the mighty God, the one who must have all things at his command. Now we have already intimated as with regard to the great Creator. But let us consider all those things that he has created. Ah, the Lord reigneth. When we turn over to the 104th Psalm, we read of those things. He hath appointed the moon for seasons, and so on. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. Man goeth unto his work and to his labour until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So the psalmist acknowledges the wondrous works of God in that creation, and all that the beasts are dependent upon the Lord. When we think that not a sparrow may fall to the ground without his knowledge, and that he does supply the ravens, how wonderful it is that we know the Lord supplies also his own people, even using the things which he has created. The ravens were used to feed Elijah, and the Lord reigned in shutting the mouths of the lions when Daniel was cast into the den. And the Lord reigns so that not even a dog may raise its head to bark at the Lord's people when he so ordains it. We therefore prove that the Lord reigns, and what a consolation this may be, that he reigns even to over those things which he has created. For the Lord reigneth, but the Lord reigneth, that he who formed the earth may also bring forth that purpose of salvation. And the Lord reigns and he the Lord rules and he overrules to bring about those purposes. He reigns that he might bring forth his redemption and that saving work, and that men may tremble at it and realize the solemnity of such a work of God. We cannot lightly speak of salvation, though we may be brought to praise him for it. Are the poor and needy soul convinced of their sin and given or brought to have a hope in the mercy of God, will rejoice in this reigning God, knowing that the Lord reigneth. It is the reign of grace, the reign of God's power to save a poor lost sinner. But the Lord reigneth. Before we come to consider further those things of redemption, let us consider that the Lord himself is a judge. He is a judge of all the earth. And he reigns, therefore, to fulfill those things which will evidence himself as the holy, holy God. When he formed our first parents there in the garden, they knew all the blessings and privileges of that paradise. There was but one thing, one commandment, which would put them on trial, as it were, or test them. That in the midst of the garden was the tree of good and evil, forbidden to take of the fruit of it, And so they would know all the favours of God whilst they were enjoying the blessings of that garden. But the Lord reigned there, 'tis true. But there was no salvation there because there was no need of it. Neither did we know the tremendous stoop, neither did our first parents know the tremendous stoop that God would make to wretched mankind who had sinned and come short of the glory of God. That the Lord should therefore reign and reign over even our sins to subdue those wherein he sees fit to do so. But our first parents, beguiled, Eve, beguiled by the serpent, took of the fruit, and so sin entered into the world. Disobedience was found in her. Covetousness, and not considering what would be the effects upon her husband, she gave the fruit to him. The word was fulfilled. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And so it was that our first parents were to know the awful word that would be sounded throughout the garden. Adam, where art thou? And despite their endeavours to hide the fact and to hide themselves, to hide their nakedness, they could not. But the Lord had appointed to give a promise to show that he would reign and that he would crush this enemy, would crush Satan under his feet. The seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. That was the hope of redemption, even in the midst of judgment. And therefore the scripture sets before us judgment with mercy. And there is mercy and judgment. We're brought to tremble, knowing that we've offended against a holy law. When God gave his holy law, then it was with fire. The mountain smoked. Sinai was there to be seen in all its awfulness. The voice of God, the children of Israel could not bear to hear it. And the voice that condemns the soul, oh, there is only therefore the awfulness of death to face us. But the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth to give unto the children of Israel one who would plead for them, and Moses did. Being typical of the great intercessor. And Moses had to plead when the children of Israel therefore sinned. And how quickly they had sinned. Even before Moses could bring the tablets upon which the commands were written down to them, they had grievously offended God. But the Lord would still go up in the midst of them, though he said he would not, lest they should be consumed. But Moses pleaded, "If thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence." The Lord would also not bring his people out and then not bring them into what he had promised. This is an evidence that the Lord reigneth in those promises, because he will fulfill those promises. There is not a promise that is given, that is spoken unto the people of God, who will not prove that the Lord reigneth in those promises. As a king of righteousness, he is faithful. But the Lord reigneth. And yet how solemn were his judgments when we consider Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's sons, when they took false fire. They were consumed by it. We cannot trifle with a God that reigns. Neither can we dictate to him as to what a thing should be. When there were those that rose up against Moses, the earth swallowed them up. An evidence that the Lord reigneth. When Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses, Miriam was made leprous. An evidence that the Lord reigneth. He who had placed Moses in the position that he had, it was not to be questioned. How careful we need to be to question what God has ordained. And yet it seems the common thing today to question the things that are, but God is. And though there may seem to be no outcome of man's questioning for a time, yet it will be proved by all that the Lord reigneth. Therefore, if the Lord has caused you to pass along a certain way, has brought you into certain circumstances, has made you to know much trial and trouble, then remember that what the Lord has ordered, what he has commanded, must come to pass. Job was to suffer, but in it, God having given him the grace and commanded that grace, he could say, "The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Well, the Lord reigneth then, even in those adversities. And often it is in the depths of our adversities that we prove that he will turn our captivity. And we then will exhort him as the Lord who reigns. Where the Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. The Lord reigneth. Oh, what a mercy and blessing it is that he reigns. He reigns, and it is he that hath given the earth to the children of men. I was very much struck earlier in the week, after this word had come to me, with these words: "Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men." And when you look at the things that surround us, shall we not be melted with the fact that he has given us the earth, with all its benefits and all its blessings that are brought forth, that there is the fields that bring forth their increase, that we are daily supplied with those many benefits. Oh, we must not minimize them. The Lord reigneth in them. You know, it came to me like this, that he gave to our first parents Eden, but that was not all the earth. There may have been a paradise, it was, but it was not a place where mankind would know the infinite mercy of God, to know his condescending love to poor dying sinners and mortals. It was therefore after he had driven them from the garden that they would then possess their portion in the earth. The people that were scattered throughout, and yet from the nations the Lord would bring and draw a people, so that they may know the blessings which must excel all of that we may have in that gift. He giveth unto men the earth to dwell in. But you have sung in the opening hymn of a greater gift, and he giveth his only begotten Son. And it is here that we may see that the Lord reigneth. He reigneth over the earth, in that he might condescend to put down sin in the hearts of those who were chosen according to sovereign election. The Father who chose a people, who formed a people to show forth his praise, chose them in his dear Son, sent his dear Son into the world, the Son willingly coming, as it was written, concerning him, so that he might gather his people in one unto himself and unto God, and reign. He reigns in Zion. The Lord reigneth. The Lord reigns in Zion to bring his many sons unto glory. And he reigns as one that sitteth between the cherubims. You know these words set before us, something else. We have here the heavenly Melchizedek. He who was king of righteousness and was priest to the Most High God. Aaron came into the holiest of all, not without blood. It was that he would sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, where the Shekinah glory, as it was considered, did descend. I will meet with thee from above the mercy seat. He sitteth between the cherubims. And therefore the Lord reigneth, that he might draw poor sinners to approach through their high priest. Not Aaron, for Aaron had his infirmities, he had his limitations. He may take the blood of the offering, but he couldn't give his life as an offering. He may make an atonement with the blood of beasts, but Christ made an atonement with his own precious blood. Aaron, therefore, could never reign as one over the Jew, over the children of Israel. Moses was considered as the king in Jeshurun. But we see in Melchizedek the two combined. And we see therefore he typical of the greater, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But whereas Melchizedek came upon the scene to bless Abraham, who paid tithes, yet he then is known or seen no more, except it be said concerning the Son, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And the Lord reigneth. He reigneth therefore to perform that work which no man could do. Not a single man dare to lay down his life for another. Even for a good man, some may even dare to do it, but who can save a vile sinner? For the Lord reigneth. The Father reigns so that he might command his own Son in those things, who humbled himself to be as a servant, that he may obey his Father in those things, to work this perfect work of salvation. And there is such a depth in these things. Who can fathom it? Yet he could only do so, the Son of God, when he assumed our nature, was found in fashion as a man, identifying himself with his own people who were flesh, but he would give them of his spirit that they may live, that he may reign over them, that they should be the church, a heavenly bride for the heavenly bridegroom, that they should know that the Lord reigneth in that work of grace. Now, we mingle perhaps varying things together, but our whole desire is to come to this, that the Lord has purposed to evidence his reigning power in the hearts and souls of sinners. And we therefore may say the Lord reigneth. There were those that hailed him when he came riding lowly upon an ass to Jerusalem, and saying, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." He was indeed their king, prophesied by Zechariah, though they regarded him not. Soon they will be crying, "Away with him, away with him. We will not have this man to reign over us." They do not take kindly to his righteous work when he entered into the temple and cast out those that exchanged money and sold the sacrifices only to their own covetous benefit. No, his was free. It was a free offering. And he reigned, therefore, to so give himself. All that seek, therefore, to make merit or to obtain some thing to feather the nest of a carnal wish will prove that instead of acknowledging that the Lord reigneth, will only deride him and will bring him down, or if they can, if they could, should I say, from his excellency. But what a mercy it is for the Lord's people that the Lord reigneth. Oh, he reigns to lift up the beggar from the dunghill. Yes, the beggar. Have you been made a beggar? A beggar poor at mercy's door. Has the Lord emptied you? Has he brought you to nothing? Has he made you to feel that there can be no place for such a wretch as you? But there could be no place if it was not that the Lord reigneth. But the Lord reigns that he may pluck the brand from the burning, that he may raise up the beggar from the dunghill, that he may exhort his own people from death itself. Thy dead men shall live. together with my dead body shall they arise. Ah, the Lord reigneth. The church does extol their reigning king because of the condescension of his love to us. Here in his love, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. For the Lord reigneth. But my time is gone. May it suffice that these remarks may be made of blessing to you, and if helped, to continue with our meditation later on in the day.
Collections last Lord's Day were £810, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Izzard. Mr. Hadley will preach on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day there will be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Charles Warboys will preach in the evening, if the Lord will. Let us close with hymn 331. Beset with snares on every hand, in life's uncertain path I stand. Saviour divine, diffuse thy light to guide my doubtful footsteps right. Hymn 331.
May the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us evermore. Amen.